Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Coming at you from Cornerstone Church in Highland, Michigan. Welcome to Walking in His Word, everybody. Pastor Lucas here, and I got a brand new co-host today, the one, the only, Jason. Say hi, Jason.
Hello.
Pastor Aaron is on vacation this week.
Lucky.
I know. Isn't that awesome? I'm very jealous. And he's in an amazing place, too. He went out to Utah with his wonderful bride. They got a baby on the way. Wanted to get in a few hikes before. Well, sometimes when the baby gets big in the belly, you can't go on those hikes anymore.
Oh, no, you can't.
Wanted to get those hikes in. Wanted to have some fun. We got a great message for everybody this week. And Pastor Tim's preaching an awesome message this week on the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, Jason, you heard this message on a Wednesday night. I did not hear the message live on a Wednesday night because I was preaching and teaching my own class in a completely different
room.
Oh,
yes, it was a breakout day.
Yes. Yep, this was breakout Wednesday night. But I heard great things about this message. He's going to break down a chapter in the book of Revelation. He's going to talk about the coming of the Lord. He's going to talk about his views and stances on things like pre-tribulation, premillennial, all those things. And we're going to get into a lot of awesome stuff all week long about the book of Revelation. I can't wait. You guys ready? Let's go to the message.
And so as we go through the book of Revelation, I'm a pre-tribber, believing that the rapture takes place before the tribulation. I'm also premillennial, meaning that I believe in a literal 1,000-year rule and reign of Christ on this earth, that Israel still has promises that need to be fulfilled, and that the church has not replaced Israel in those promises. So that's premillennial, pre-trib. That's how I approach the book of Revelation. Eschatology is a deep subject. There's people that are postmillennial, people that are amillennial. Then, of course, I'm premillennial. And so there's a lot of views on there. But the type of guys that I listen to and study and read what they have to say, they come from my stream of thought of premillennial and pre-tribulational. They would be guys such as this, Jimmy Evans, Hal Lindsey, John MacArthur, John Walvoord, Greg Lowry, Jimmy Evans, Adrian Rogers, Chuck Swindoll, David Guzik. So those are some of the guys that I listen to their messages or commentaries or podcasts or books, you know, that they have on end time events. I'm not an eschatology expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe in studying it. And of course, I believe my understanding of it is the correct one. There you go. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be teaching it, right? There you go. All right, so let's take a look at this. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 17. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, and so there's seven seals, all right? So six seals would be opened in Revelation chapter 6. When the seventh seal is open, within the seventh seal is the seven trumpets. And when the seventh trumpet sounds, within the seventh sounding of that trumpet are the six bowls or the six vials poured out. So within the seven seals is all the wrath and calamity and judgment that is going to be happening in what we call the tribulation period, that great tribulation, which is 7 years in length. So starting once again, Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." And so I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death and Hades, followed with them. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So within this fourth seal of death and hell, a fourth of the earth's population is killed. So I looked up the population of the earth. Right now, it's a little over 8 billion. So you're talking about 2 billion people in this fourth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as if a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So this tribulation period, which is 7 years in length, I believe, according to Daniel's prophecy, this great tribulation is a time of God's wrath on this earth. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17 talks about that this is the wrath of the Lamb. In verse 17, the great day of his wrath has come. So it's the wrath of God coming upon this earth. Matthew 24, which is a companion passage, Matthew 24, Jesus outlines last times, and it's a companion passage or chapter with Revelation. Matthew 24 talks about this great tribulation period, of which it has begun here in Revelation chapter 6. It says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. So God, if God had not shortened it to that 7 years, if it has been prolonged, every person would have died. It's so calamitous. No flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So this great tribulation, now in the world, we've always had tribulation. In the world, you shall have tribulation. And we know that there's been great calamities, great plagues, great wars, things like this have happened. We know that there'll be birth pangs, labor pangs. That's the beginning of sorrows. But when that 7-year tribulation period comes, everything is ramped up. You know, my wife has had 2 children, and we went through those childbirth classes, and they talked about the period when labor gets really intense. They called it the transition period. And that's really intense, really challenging. The Great Tribulation is like the transition of a woman in labor. The contractions are stronger. The contractions come more frequently, and they bring about the delivery of the baby. These will be like birth pangs that bring about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 30, verses 4 to 7, it has this to say about this tribulation period. Now, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor and all faces turned pale? So this has to be a very stressful, fearful time for a man to be so full of fear that he has the body posture of a woman in just terrible labor pains. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So the great tribulation period, the Bible here, is the time of Jacob's trouble. That's another name for the tribulation period, Jacob's trouble. Why is that? Well, Jacob is another name for the nation of Israel. During the seven-year tribulation, the nation of Israel will be under tremendous persecution. Tremendous calamity will take place against that nation. And it will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ. And at that time, they shall look on him whom they have pierced, the house of Israel. And Book of Romans talks about during that time, all Israel shall be saved. So the tribulation period is a time of great judgment upon this world, including the nation of Israel, for their rejection of Jesus Christ. But God also uses this time not only to bring about judgment, but also to prepare that nation, the nation of Israel, to receive Christ as their Messiah. For blindness has happened to them, and they have not come to Christ as a nation in great numbers. I know here and there and here and there. I know there are Messianic Jews, and we thank the Lord for that. But there will be coming a time when they will, as a nation, turn to Christ and will receive Christ as their Messiah, and the Lord will establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign from that place or that throne for 1,000 years, and all those precious promises he has given to the nation of Israel will be fulfilled during that time. It's going to be a wonderful time.
Have you ever read the book of Revelation, Jason?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the first time reading it through?
Yeah, the first time reading it through is definitely a shocker. Read the book of Revelation and you'll be blessed, it says. And I read it and I was like, I am more
stressed.
I'm more stressed than blessed right now.
It's true. Oh, do you remember how old you were the first time you read through it?
I think it was in high school, actually. And at the time, I wasn't fully following the Lord yet. I'd raised my hand for salvation, but I was living the high school life, on the edge.
What made you want to read through the book of Revelation then, if it felt like maybe you weren't fully committed to the Lord quite yet? You just were interested in it?
I was always, I had a draw to the Word of God, even though I wasn't living it out at the time. I feel like, I don't know if it was from prayers from my mom or just people who were around me, but I just felt, I was watching a message online about Revelation. I was like, you know what? Maybe I should start reading the Bible. And I decided to read Revelation. Let me tell you, I was real quick turned around after reading Revelation because it is a real book.
So it did bless you.
Oh, it did bless me. It kind of woke me up a little bit.
I remember the first time reading the book of Revelation too. I was in middle school. I was probably eighth grade. So right around the same age as you. And kind of had been encouraged by my youth pastor for a few years to really just daily read the Bible. And I remember finally getting kind of to the point where I've never read Revelation, but I'm interested. And man, such a wild book.
Oh, yeah.
Could you describe it as adventurous, colorful, different than all the other books of the Bible? It pulled me in. The book of Revelation is a way of drawing you in. It's a powerful book, and it does say that you're blessed if you read it. So let me encourage all of our listeners out there, read Revelation. Do it this week. You'll be blessed. We'll be right back here tomorrow morning, everybody. Walking in his word.
Thank you for listening to our show today. You can find more information at our website, cornerstonehighland.com. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to see you at church one day. Please do not be a stranger.